This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
So, you're the one typing, my man.
I
stay away from all that stuff.
All right, a couple of ball games last night. Then we're going to dive into this first half, second half concept for you here. Wes Moore, 9:15. We're going to talk to him about the playoffs, by the way.
Which playoffs?
The NFL.
Oh, NFL playoffs.
Do you know why?
No.
Huge Cowboys fan.
Boy, is he going to be bummed out after what San Francisco is going to do to them.
Is that what you're going to go
no,
with?
I'm not.
Is that what you're going with? We're going to bring the coach of one of the top five teams on the show, and you're going to kill his
– I'm not going to kill him because, the NFL
– Your team's out. I know. Your team didn't make it.
Well, actually, my team's the Raiders.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, I grew up – Kenny Stabler was my hero. I mean, I'm going old school.
Yeah, you are.
Silver. Those were really my –
Old Man Willie the whole bit?
Those were my guys.
Okay. All
so
right. – That makes sense. You and the Raiders makes a lot of sense.
Hey, I love the Raiders, man. I love the Giants in baseball, the Raiders in football. Those are my guys.
And you're so close to them. That was always
– You know, everybody – hey, anybody can root for the Falcons or the Cowboys or whatever. But growing up as a kid, I mean, they had the Swedish uniforms. Love that as a kid. And the Giants, man, Willie Mays. Come on.
There you go. All right, Wes Moore coming up in a few minutes. Florida State a winner, 65-64 last night over Miami. Really good game. Another – five or less. We've now had, six of the last nine, I guess, have been five or less in ACC play. Florida State extends a win streak of Miami to 8 games. How about that? I mean, really, really good end-to-end basketball last night. Both teams had advantages during the course, and at the end, boy, last 4.5 minutes was one possession, wasn't it, Pac, seemingly?
Yep, 6 lead changes in the last 8 minutes, 3 lead changes in the last 28 seconds.
Yep.
And this literally came down to what some may say, a controversial call. Some folks thought it was a really good call. Nevertheless, you guys can make 2 free throws. That's what Florida State does, Matthew Cleveland with the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the Canes are balling, dude. Let me tell you something. That possession, after Malik Osborne makes a 3 at the top of the key with about 25 seconds to go, bam, here's the play. Miller, an incredible rebound to keep it alive, and sees old Charlie Moore over there on the wing, and bam, and there's the play. Florida State's got 7 seconds. You're down 1. Somebody go make a play. And you make 2 free throws, game, set, match. Florida State with the W. Keep an eye on the Noles. That young team is starting to figure it out. And for the Canes, disappointing loss. But you know what? I don't think they're going anywhere, Wes. That backcourt is legit.
Yep. And going to be interesting to watch. Miami, Florida State. Those guys. Now, Florida State have seemingly A, healthy, as Leonard Hamilton pointed out when he was with us last. A little bit of youth. Kind of gotten their sea legs, if you will. Here by mid-January, let's see what the Noles turn into.
And the one thing you know about Florida State, Leonard's going to play a bunch of dudes. They're going to get contribution off the bench. And last night, 1-point win. Florida State's bench scored 25 points. Miami's bench did not score a single point.
Yep.
That's the way Florida State likes to do it, man. They're going to wear you down with minutes.
Noles are at Syracuse on Saturday, then Duke at home midweek. Before they go back to Miami on the 22nd, round 2.
It's a tough stretch.
Yeah. And then at Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech. All right, other one. Buddy and Jimmy put a show on last night at the Dome. Pitt goes really cold from the floor late first half, and then the first about 10 minutes, 9.5 minutes of the second half, and that's enough to get the Orange the win, 77-61. Buddy finished with 24 last night. You see 5 of 8 from 3. I mean, he caught it in rhythm now. Coming off the top, nice screen by Edwards. And when it's going like that, it's going to be a good night. Jimmy had 18. So 42 between the two. There we go. I got that math right. 42 of the 77 last night for the Orange. It's okay to laugh.
Near the end of the first half, Pitt went on a 13-0 run. It really looked like they were taking control of the game. Pitt, at that stage, at 13-0 run, they're up like 7 or 8, whatever the case may be. Syracuse made a nice run at the end of the first half to keep that thing tight. And then second half, bombs away. They brought it out and just said, see you later. And Pitt had nothing in response to that. I was surprised, though, that John Hughley who we just had on the show. We talk about the bump on this show all the time.
Yeah.
He did not have a great night. I mean, after the 32-13, I really thought against Syracuse's defense, which has been leaky at best, that he could have a monster game. And Wes, it did not happen, and really Pitt needed it on the road.
Yeah.
Big time.
I mentioned Biggs in the previous segment. I said Paul Arrington. Paul Atkinson is the center transfer from Yale, former Ivy League player of the year tonight for Notre Dame. We were mentioning the matchup with P.J. Hall. All right, so let's get to first half, second half here. The points per game margins is always fascinating to look at. And then the Pitt-Syracuse thing kind of talks about this now. When you go from last night where Pitt goes on this run at the end of the first half, but then Buddy hits a shot to get the Orange League going to the locker room. Then you remember the back and forth that Mark was talking about, 5.5 minutes of the Miami-Florida State game. So we've cobbled together some of these point per game margins here. Are you a first or a second half team? Well, in the case of a team like Duke, they've got a scoring margin of 10.5 points in the first half and an advantage of 8.5 in the second half. But here's the first half numbers, and look at the Pitt number. When you think about having that 13-point lead or the 13-0 run pack, and then you see the margin of minus 3.6, interesting. And then you see the only double figure is Duke, and Wake's 8.3.
The one that surprises me is North Carolina. And the reason for it is, if you remember, they played Boston College on the road about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And that thing was, I think, 49-20 or something like that at halftime. So there's basically a plus 29 before you ever start putting any numbers together. And you see North Carolina plus 2.9. You kind of wonder, well, take that BC game out. Where's North Carolina in that list?
No kidding.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Notre Dame and Georgia Tech are playing tight fits. Anybody, I would say, plus 3 to minus 3, that's two possessions, essentially, in a half of basketball. But there's a number. I mean, the fact we don't have more over 5, I will say, is interesting. Now, let's go to the second half. I already told you Duke's plus 8. They lead the category. And then there's Carolina Pack, the plus 5. You know the thing I notice here? Look how much variable there is in these margins. There's not a lot of variable for some of these teams.
Well, that's why we keep telling you, hey, guess what? Another game determined by 5 points or less. The give and take in this league, it's going to stay the same way the rest of January and into February. There's just a lot of competitive balance in this conference right now, and that's what we got. Mm-hmm. Now, the question's going to be, hey, who can finally get on a run? That's why that game like Notre Dame-Clemson tonight, really important. Both teams on a good run. Who can continue the momentum? Virginia Tech intrigues me tonight, too. Hokies need a win. Arch rival, the Hoos starting to make some shots, even though they got waxed in Chapel Hill over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But I was impressed with the way they were able to score the basketball on the road at Syracuse. Same thing at Clemson. Does that continue tonight in Charlottesville? And like I said, the Hokies have got to get a W somewhere.
I'm with you on that. I think you start kind of minding the store here. We might want to revisit this in about a month.
I think the number is going to go all over the place.
I do too.
Don't you?
Yeah. The way conference scoring is going right now, you start looking at it, and it's, you know, conference scoring, the margins are really thin anyway, and that's reflected by this first half, second half number.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Our next guest really almost needs no introduction. Back-to-back ACC championships, ranked in the top 5. Great program. Place was hopping last week.
Oh, yeah.
When North Carolina hooked up, again, as we discussed.
Yeah.
And, man, NC State basketball. I'm talking about the ladies, man. No joke. Wes Moore joins us from Raleigh. Coach, good morning. Life treating you all right? I hope you're ready to go for another the NFL playoffs. But, man, your team is really playing good basketball.
Well, thank you. Yes, we're playing well, and we better be, because this league is unbelievable. 6 teams in the top 25. But, you know, every night out, it's a big challenge. Great players, great coaches. So we'd better be ready. And, yeah, I've already set up my DVR to record the Cowboy game Sunday, since we're playing that afternoon.
Oh,
and
Come on.
I'm ready for the NFL play. Hey, I grew up in Dallas, folks.
Don't you get any help from the league on scheduling? Don't they know you got a playoff game to watch?
I know, but that's okay. Like I said, I'll just make sure the media doesn't say anything about football scores, and try to get home and get up into my cowboy man cave and get cranking. So
Wait, hold on. Before we follow up with your basketball team, what is in the cowboy man cave?
What's that? What about it?
You know, what do you have in there? What kind of artifacts do we have in the cowboy man cave?
You know, I never have been into really collecting stuff until COVID. You know, when we couldn't go anywhere, it was a bad deal for me because now I'm getting on eBay buying stuff. And so I've got any quarterback that's, you know, won a Super Bowl for the Cowboys, that would be Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman. I've got framed jerseys. I've got a lot of pictures. I've got two seats from Texas Stadium and actually one from the ballpark there where the Rangers play. So it's a pretty neat place. Got a big screen, projector, and again, it's a fun little place to hang out on game day.
But wait, now look here, we're about to all the same age here. So who's your favorite cowboy of all time? Is it Staubach?
Yeah, I mean, again, Staubach, Drew Pearson. Ooh, you know, you're talking about a guy that wasn't drafted, free agent, and he finally got in the Hall of Fame recently, but always came up with the big catch, and you know, the first really Hail Mary. I mean, that's where it started. They asked Roger Staubach after the game, "What'd you do on that play when you threw the bomb?" He said, "I just dropped back and said a Hail Mary," because he was a devout Catholic. And so he's the original Hail Mary, so him and Drew Pearson. So a lot of great memories. That's when we went to the playoffs every year and made a run every year with Tom Landry. And then Jimmy Johnson did a pretty good job too. So lived a charmed life, but it's been kind of dry for a while. Kenny Brooks up at Virginia Tech, he's a big Cowboy fan also. So we always are sharing, you know, our concerns and enjoying victories together. So it's something special. Cowboy fans all over the country, obviously.
Huh. Now I can see the wheels turning over here for you.
We could spend hours.
I know we could.
This, but we're not going
to.
Yeah,
I know.
All right. I want to dive into what you just said a moment ago, though. This league, is this the year that everybody nationally, West, buys in and gets it? I mean, are we going to talk about other leagues, or is everybody going to understand, hey, wait a second, this league is real and going to be a factor not only in its own determination, but nationally when we get to that point with the tournament?
Yeah, I really think so. You know, whether it's from the COVID extra year, the super seniors, as we call them, or the transfer portal, or whatever, it's just everybody's roster is stacked. People have done a great job of working the portal, working the seniors, extra super seniors, and it's just really, when I look at the juggernaut of a schedule we have ahead of us, it's something. I mean, you got to lock in every night, and let's face it, at some point it comes down to also hitting shots. You know, who's hitting shots that night? That's why you play the game. Obviously, defending and rebounding are really critical, because you're not going to shoot well every night, and you've got to be able to win on those nights if you want to compete for championships. But also, you know, let's face it, hitting shots is a big deal. That's how they keep scoring this game.
Coach, there was so much hype last week for the North Carolina game when they're coming to your house, and everything was talked about before, during, and after the game. You guys were dialed in. You blow them off the floor. And I always find when you get games like that, especially in the midweek, how do you respond to the next one, especially in an emotional rivalry game in which your team really did play well? I was impressed with the way it was, hey, business as usual, on the road, let's go play the next game, and you took care of it. To me, that was always a sign of a really, number one, well-coached team and a mature team that understands you don't get too high, you don't get too low, let's just go make the next play. That's got to be a great sign. I mean, you now have had back-to-back ACC championship teams. You've been a number one seed. You got a chance to win the national championship this year as well. Man, to me, that tells me something about your club.
Well, you know, it is. Again, every game's going to be a dogfight. And, you know, it was funny. We, the Carolina game Thursday night, got a big win. And I'd been hard on them that week. We did not play defense well in the previous game. And I was pretty hard on them all week. And I didn't know how they'd respond, but I thought our energy and our urgency on defense was really good Thursday night against Carolina. And so this is the life of coach in the COVID era. You know, I don't like looking ahead. So after the Carolina game that night, the assistant handed me over the information on our next opponent, which was supposed to be Notre Dame. And so I'm up till about 3:30 in the morning preparing for Notre Dame. The next day, about 4 o'clock, 4:30, right when we're going through some walkthrough stuff, I hear that, you know, Notre Dame may be out due to protocol. And sure enough, we find out now we're going to Miami. So again, not a bad deal. You go from South Bend to South Beach, so that's not a bad deal. But, you know, it's not a vacation. So Miami, they just always – it's always a tough game because they're going to defend you, pick you up full court most of the game. They're going to trap you all over the court. So now you're up till 2:30 in the morning preparing for Miami, and your kids are having to switch gears. So I'm proud of the way they responded because that's always a tough place to play down there. Katie does a great job, and her kids play really hard. So – but, yeah, that's what we strive for. And, again, maybe I need to get me an NIL deal with McDonald's. But we talk all the time about we want to be like McDonald's French fries. Let's face it. You may not like everything about McDonald's, but it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You go into McDonald's, you know those French fries are going to be good, okay? And that's what we talk about every game, every night, no matter who we're playing, no matter where we are, we want to be able to count on us being like those fries. Let's be hot and salty. How about that?
Hot and salty.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, can you do that and can you have that expectation with this team because you've got leadership like Alisa Cunane, Reyna Perez? I mean, you've got these pieces that have played together and kind of understand one another. So is it easier to do that with this team than others?
Okay, that's kind of a catch-22. On one hand, you've got Kai Crutchfield, Kayla Jones have been in this program now 5 years. Alisa Cunane, 4 years. Of course, Reyna Perez is a veteran. I think, you know, again, I've said it before, I think she's drawing, you know, cost of attendance and Social Security at the same time. You know, she's been around so long. So you've got that. From that standpoint, yes, you've got a maturity level. You got kids that get it, okay? On the other hand, you got a group of kids that have been here for 5 years and they're thinking, oh, man, I'm tired of hearing that guy, you know? So, you know, you've got to make sure that they still listen to the message and understand that every night out is going to be a big challenge. So it's a combination of things. But again, when you look at six teams from the ACC in the top 25, and then again, I tell them, I don't look at rankings or even records that much. I look at film. And when I look at some of these teams on film, they are very, very talented and play very hard. And if you don't show up, you're going to lose. And that's just the bottom line. So hopefully we can keep that edge and keep that urgency every night, night in, night out. If you're going to have to do that in this league to be successful.
I know you may not like to hear this, but I remember on Friday's show promoting NC State Notre Dame women's basketball on Sunday. And when I saw the scores Sunday, Coach, I was like, hey, what happened? I mean, I really screwed something up. I must have looked at some old schedule. So I apologized on Monday's show. I said, listen, I got to come clean. I was promoting the fact that, you know, both North Carolina and NC State got this huge game Thursday, and the Heels had Virginia Tech, and you guys had the road trip to Notre Dame. And I was looking at the scores going, how in the world did I screw that thing up? And, of course, the whole COVID thing, like I said, every hour you got to check the headlines just to make sure you got games going on. You may not want to hear this. Is there going to be a way to reschedule that game, or is that just going to be we just got to wait and see?
Well, we're looking at it. Obviously, we've got to make sure that it is equitable for both teams. And so we're definitely looking at some options there. And again, I guess your other thing is you don't like to think about it and you hope it doesn't happen, but we could both have dates open up as well in the future that coincide so that we can make that game up in a normal Thursday or Sunday cycle. But definitely looking at it and trying to figure it out, no doubt.
All right.
Let me say, Notre Dame probably has the best young talent in the league. I mean, they've got a lot of young players that are really, really good. So it's a big game. Notre Dame's playing really well right now. So hopefully we can work that out again at a point in the season where it works for both of us.
All right. We mentioned Elisa. You mentioned these other veteran pieces you've got. Is there anything she does now that surprises you? I mean, we think of her as this thing, not only in the ACC, but nationally as one of the best players in the country. Does she do something now, even as successful as she's been, that surprises you, Wes?
Yeah, I don't know if it surprises me. We knew when we were recruiting her out of high school, she was going to be a special player. And, I think the way she's expanded her game, I think she's gotten in a position where she runs the floor better than she ever has. So she's worked extremely hard to make that happen. I got to get her out on the court. We go to Clemson and play that game and kind of get in the flow. And Clemson had about three of their best guards out that night due to protocol. And so I got caught up in the game. And I think when I look back the next night or that night, Elisa had played 14 minutes. So, that's not fair to her. As hard as she's worked, I've got to make sure that I am cognizant of her time and make sure she gets out there on the court. And then second of all, we got to get her the ball. We're a really good three-point shooting team, but I've always believed you're better when you work inside out. Kind of like football, establishing the running game, that opens up everything. And I think the same thing, getting the ball inside to Elisa. And the last two games, she has responded unbelievably because I've kept her on the court and we've got her the ball. So I think if you do those things, and then, last game she had a couple assists, no turnovers. So when they do collapse on her, she's doing a pretty good job of finding the person and getting an open look. So I love that balance. She was ESPN National Player of the Week this week, so that's a great honor. And again, just says how well she played these past couple of games.
Yeah, she's a tremendous talent. Listen, we've been asking this question for two coaches now for about the last three or four weeks. And I'm eagerly anticipating what this answer is going to be. But, Coach, we want to know, for you specifically, what is your walk-up music? What is the song that gets you absolutely juiced and ready to go? Whether it be game day, coming to work every day, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I got you. I guess I have to give it to Beyonce because, she wrote the song about me. And so I feel like I owe it to her. That's got to be the song. And that's she wrote Drunk in Love, okay, and especially about me. So I'll go with that, yeah.
That's not what I was thinking.
I wasn't thinking that at all. I thought you may go
Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys.
Yeah, I thought you
were
going to go old
thinking.
School, yeah. Like a Texas band that only you would know. That's where I thought you were going to go. I really did.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, George Strait. I can go all over the place here. So, I got a lot of people I could turn to. But, when someone writes a song about you, I think you have to go with that.
All right. Well, again, we are compiling quite a list of answers from coaches on this. I did not expect a Beyonce reference from you under any – if you could have given me multiple choice, that would have been my last selection for you. I got to be honest with you.
Did Maddie put you up to that? Maddie put you up to that song, didn't she?
No. All right. No.
All right. Good to see you.
But before we – wait, we started talking NFL. Let's end it with the NFL. Cowboys win by how many?
Stop it.
No, I'm not into that. I'm not jinxing. It sounds like the Cowboys may have, by moving up to the 3 seed, they may have got a tougher game because the 49ers are 7-2 in their last 9 games, and they're a very physical team. They run the ball that's their priority. And I worry about it. We have a great pass rush, but I do worry about stopping the run a little bit. You know, and the 49ers are physical up front on the defensive line as well, which makes it hard for Zeke and Pollard to get the running game going. This game scares me, you know, and so we're gonna have to come out and play well.
Let me just tell you this.
It's hot and salty Westmore breakdown.
It's hot
and
salty, just like McDonald's French fries. I mean, he's already identified the Elijah Mitchell factor for San Francisco. And he knows that, yeah, San Francisco, big time up front. Yeah. Look at this. It's not just your – we're not just getting fan analysis. We're getting football analysis.
Yeah, this is not we're pom-pom waving. I'm a fan. You gave us something.
Yeah, these games are won up front, guys. I mean, in the trenches, you know. If your quarterback is on his back, he's not going to be real good, okay? And if he's running for his life because we don't have a running game, it's going to be a challenge.
Is Dave Dorn aware of your astute observations in the game of football?
Real quick, I'll try to make this quick. We're out speaking one year, and when I first got married, we lived here in North Carolina, and this little small school, private school, I knew the head coach of football. He had me help coach some on the football team. And so we're out, Coach Dorn and I are out speaking, I think somewhere near Wilmington, and this guy comes up to me and said, "Coach, I know you probably don't remember me, but you coached me in football when I was in high school." And so sure enough, baby, I had it set up. I said, "Okay," I got up to speak. I said, "I'm going to pick somebody out of the crowd. I'll pick you. Based on your personal knowledge, who's the best football coach in this room?" And he said, "You, Coach Moore." Okay. So Coach Dorn, I mean, he comes to me a lot, you know, I'm sure, for advice. But I just always tell him the flea flicker. I think the flea flicker, if you've got a running game, which NC State football has had a great running game with Person and all of those guys, Knight. So I said, if you got a running game, the flea flicker is unbelievable.
Because I'm going to just say this right now. If Dave Dorn is watching this show right now, I hope he is putting this in the memory bank, because I can imagine right now, come springtime, when we're breaking down ACC football, he's going to come on here and go, "You know, that Wes Moore, I was telling him about the triangle and two defense, but he just never listened to me. I'm just waiting for that."
Yeah. Well, here's the other question I have for you and Dorn, and that is our other mutual friend, Elliot Avent. Now, you go to baseball as much as you go to football.
Yeah.
Are you as analytical about Avent's work as you are Dorn's?
Well, I try to help Coach Avent when I can. But no, you know, they're both great coaches. I mean, y'all realize our football team is being ranked in the top 10 in the country in the way too early polls.
Oh, yeah.
And baseball, they're coming off a World Series run. I mean, again, those two guys, they don't need my help. They're getting by okay.
I tell you what, old Elliot and Boo Corrigan, that announcement I saw the other day, the $15 million they're putting into baseball.
Yeah.
You may not see Elliot anymore, boy. He's going to be in high cotton over there. There's new offices now. That's going to be big
time. No. He's already called me because he has some friends that want to come to the Duke game, and it's a sellout, you know. So he's already called me wanting tickets because he's trying to make sure they get that stadium built. So I'm excited for him, okay? Yeah, They've earned it. And you know, I keep thinking, you know, Rodon and Trey Turner, I think they're in their free agent years. Hopefully they're going to sign some big contracts, and we're going to see a beautiful new stadium out there, Rodon and Turner Field. How about that?
I tell you what, as long as Turner doesn't sign with the Dodgers, I'm all for it. In fact, I'll throw in a couple dollars as long as he doesn't sign
with
the
Dodgers. Oh, no, wait a second. Here you go again on the Giants-Dodgers thing.
That's it. We don't need
Coach Moore, good luck at Virginia. Hey. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, now the Rangers are spending some money now, and so I'm hoping, let's get Rodon down in Texas. You know, we could use another arm, okay?
The only thing the Rangers were good for were the Giants beating him in the World Series in 2010. That's it. That's all I got. Yeah. That's hot and salty
We were doing really good until Packer, you know, crossed the line. Hey, good luck tomorrow night in Virginia, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Stay safe. Go Pack.
You too. Wes Moore, coach of the Wolfpack.
He's a trip.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer in Durham. Many thanks to Wes Moore. Breakdown of not only a top four ranked women's basketball team, but also this weekend's Cowboys NFL playoff game.
If they win, he'll want to come back.
We'll have him back.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
He can ride the Cowboy bandwagon, and I mean, he doesn't need an invite. He just, he knows the number.
Boy, you were crossing the line though about your Giants and the Rangers. I mean, come on, what the guy's having fun, and then you start. He's got seats from the ballpark.
Yeah, well, guess what? When you sat in that seat in 2010, you watched the Giants beat the Rangers in the World Series. So what part did I cross? That's just a fact.
All right.
Tim Lincecum with the close.
Yeah.
Game, set, match.
That's good.
Renteria, yard, left field, seventh inning.
Were you at the game? Is that the game you went
to? I wished I was.
Oh, okay. Right.
I was at the Kansas City World That's Series. It, that was the third one we won that decade.
Let's go to the schedule tonight in the ACC. We've already told you we talked about Clemson and Notre Dame. There are two other games we really haven't spent much time on, but are worth the note. 9 o'clock ESPN2 tonight, and Eastroff Jordan Cornette will have the call for you from Charlottesville. Virginia Tech and Virginia. Interesting there because Virginia hasn't beaten Virginia Tech since February of 20.
Not that anybody's counting.
Right. Only played once last year. One game got canceled, and Virginia Tech won that one. That was a Saturday night at the Castle. Last time Virginia Tech won in Charlottesville, Buzz Williams was still coaching them up.
Buzz doing a nice job at his new employment. This is a really, really important game for Virginia Tech, don't you? I mean, you and I both are really high on the Hokies. They've gotten off to an 0-3 start in the league. You look at the schedule coming up. The North Carolina game has now been rescheduled, so they're going to have to make the road trip to Chapel Hill. We know how good North Carolina is. It just seems to me that if Virginia Tech is going to kind of jump in that upper echelon like we expect them to be, you just can't keep going 0-4 here. This is a humongous game for the Hokies, and it's an in-state rival, so you know they'll be juicy and hot and salty. Like Westmore just mentioned, and Virginia, you know, started shooting the basketball a little bit better, even though they did not play well at North Carolina. To me, every time a good team has a stinker like they did, normally the next game is a nice bounce back.
Yep.
I expect Virginia to play well, but this is an important game for the Hokies.
Here's the one thing about this for the Cavaliers to keep an eye on. They lose tonight. It would be the earliest since Tony Bennett has taken a third ACC loss. I mean, look at this. Go all the way back. The way. February 6th, you see January 15, 2 years ago, January 17 in 2016, January 19, 2011. And then in other years, we didn't have a third loss.
Tell you what, though, look at that ACC rank on the far right side. You don't tell me that hasn't been good now. No, you keep hearing that Duke-Carolina thing.
Yeah, those Florida guys right
State
there.
Loaded. How about these dudes right here? Charlottesville.
Yeah.
No joke.
Playing the old anxiety up there on you. They're playing on your head.
Yeah.
Especially in that building. So keep an eye on that tonight with the Hokies and the Cavaliers. I thought Jordan Cornette hit it on the head. Keve Aluma, Jaden Gardner tonight, Pac.
Yep. Totally agree.
Yep.
Spot on.
Gardner been really good for Virginia, was excellent at Clemson last week. Like most of the Cavaliers, he struggled last Saturday in Chapel Hill. After going 20-plus, Kihei Clark will be a big factor tonight. Storm Murphy, Kihei Clark. That might be worth your time tonight, too, at 9 o'clock. So,
really important game.
Georgia Tech at Boston College. This is going to get –
Go ahead and describe that. This is going to get what?
Well, it's curious.
Curious.
They that's both played Notre Dame at home.
Yeah.
BC won by double figures. Georgia Tech lost in overtime. Jackets have lost 7 of 8. BC's lost 7 of 10.
I would tell you, if I'm being completely honest and transparent, which I am 100% of the time here, this game to me, the loser goes to 15 in accounting. It's the way I look at it. Just telling you.
I don't disagree with that.
You agree with that?
I don't disagree with that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's amazing. That doesn't happen very often.
No, I think you're right. I mean,
the defenders need a W, and so does Coach Grant. And listen, they almost pulled that bad boy off against Pitt over the weekend.
I bet they pull out those cream eagle jerseys tonight with the cursive script writing on it.
Well, I don't know what they're going to wear, but somebody's going to make some shots, right? Yeah. That's the deal. And with Georgia Tech, you know, with Usher and DeVoe, it seems like they have two guys that can explode. The problem is inside. What are they going to do?
They are playing more players. You see Tristan Maxwell, who's from the Charlotte area, scoring there. Kyle Sturdivant gave him a little bit of a lift the other night. So did Debo Coleman. Bubba Parra missed the Notre Dame game with some knee soreness. Let's see what happens tonight. But I tell you this now, Boston College runs some guys at you. They run some bigs at you, too.
Yeah, I was going to say
and
size.
And Georgia Tech doesn't have a lot of size inside. So, Ashton Lankford, Bickerstaff, Galloway. I mean, this will be interesting tonight, just from that standpoint. Keep an eye on that one for you. So, those are the other two ball games we're talking about.
It's a terrific slate of games tonight.
Yeah, Louisville, NC State, a rematch from an earlier one. We've already told you about Notre Dame, Clemson. I mean, it's a full
Duke
night.
Duke Wake.
Ooh, up and down the floor at the Joel tonight.
Yep.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Final segment of a Wednesday show. 541 are the magic numbers. That's right. What the show number is. And on this date, Wes Durham, one of the great hires
in
college sports history took place.
I mean, January 12th, 1976, the game changed at Florida State because they hired Robert Klecker Bowden to be the head football coach. And from that point on, fellas, y'all were in business, right?
I mean, seriously, it's one of the great hires in college sports history.
Absolutely.
And for what this guy represented, I know there's been tons of documentaries. There have been unbelievable testimonies since his passing. And may he rest in peace. Just a wonderful man, an incredible football coach, and a better person. But what he did at a school that basically had an erector set and would play anybody, anywhere, anytime, and what he built that thing into.
Right.
It is one of the most remarkable stories and hires, like I said, in the history of college sports.
Yep. And we remember Coach Bowden fondly, of course, since his passing last August. And he's one of those guys that impacted so many people, those that played for him, certainly those that were friends and associates of him, but also those of us that just got to kind of know him on the periphery as well. And so that's why you want to recognize a day like today, right?
Yeah. I'd still miss him, man. The stories awesome. And just kind of putting things in perspective, big picture. And given what took place on Monday night in terms of a college football championship, a team with a dynasty losing and a team not winning one for the first time since 1980, it would have been cool to hear him just kind of pontificate on where we are in college football. He just had a way about him that when he had a conversation with you, you knew he was just talking to you.
Right.
And a wise guy, and I don't mean that as a smart aleck. I'm talking about wise as in smart.
Mm-hmm.
But just a brilliant mind, a really incredibly warm, wonderful person.
Yep. Five basketball games tonight in the ACC. Three of them on the ESPN family of networks. We got a doubleheader here for you. Number 8, Duke at Wake Forest. That's at 7 o'clock. NC State at Louisville at 9. 9 o'clock tonight, you can also see Virginia Tech at Virginia over on ESPN2. Clemson at Notre Dame, Georgia Tech at BC is available for you on the NX. You can see it off the ESPN app outside the markets that it's available in.
By the way, totally separate issue. You think we're going to get the college football playoff thing figured out or not?
Yeah, I'd like to do a little more. I do think we'll get it figured out. I would like to have a little more insight into what this automatic qualifier holdup is. I do think that has something to do with it, and I am going to say this. I listened to Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel's podcast yesterday. It's one of the things I kind of keep in tune with during the course of the year. The thing that Jim Phillips brought up here with us in the basement, the concerns that Dabo Swinney and Mack Brown expressed about the number of games is a real thing in that room, according to Bruce Feldman.
Well, you know what? I think it should be. Safety and health has always been a priority for college sports, especially during this COVID issue that we're going through and the mental aspect of it. You see the physicality of what a college football playoff season goes through.
Right.
These teams, again, that game Monday night was felt like an NFL game.
Did indeed.
You had 7 kids get up and leave from Alabama yesterday, a handful from Georgia. You do wonder that if you expand the playoffs by another game from 4 to 12, and I know the idea was that 1, 2, 3, and 4 would have byes, it only affects 12 teams. But, I mean, physically, can you handle? This is not the National Football League. As many,
that's correct.
I mean,
yes.
There's only 2% of athletes get to the next level, 2%, which means the other 98%, I hope that, hey, you get a quality degree and fall back on something. Mm-hmm. So there's so many layers to this that it seems that it could be really, really difficult for all 11 to agree.
Let me ask you this. There is a concern on my part, just as a fan and somebody who works around college athletics, that we don't have complete governance of a lot of this, and yet we're trying to expand it. You follow me? I mean, you don't have the complete governance. Is everybody going to play similar scheduling structures? We want to expand this because we see the interest in college football. First of all, we need to know what the business side of it is. And the second part of it is we need to make sure everybody's basically swimming in the same pool. Fair or not?
That would be fair.
Okay.
I tell you what else has been interesting for me is to see some of the comments from some of the commissioners where you kind of start to see where the sides are.
That's exactly right.
And again, there are a bunch of smart people. I suspect they will get this thing worked out, but the question becomes when.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.